restaurants. We need to address it.
It's sort of the same as a distillery a little bit, you know, and that requires a separate level.
Is, on a different note then, is there an issue with a brewery which presumably would be having some off-site or sales like you do with a liquor store? Is there an issue with the church that's next door?
No, the DABCC, and it's based on, don't hold me exactly to this, but it's based on volume and size. You can sell certain amounts certain ways. But if you start exceeding that volume, then you become a liquor store, which triggers distance requirements and right. church and things. Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, the DABCC is still kind of getting a handle all that too, because they're really starting to pop up a lot of different places.
Right. So that would be an issue that would be addressed by the ABC Commission, yes. if in fact it does become an issue.
And this one's still going to go through the federal licensing requirements too. If you're brewing even, you know, I don't know what the minimum is, but small batches, you got to get a federal license, and it's a big
bureaucratic nightmare. I would just be concerned what the reaction would be of the neighboring church and its membership, you know, having a restaurant brewery, you know, next door.
Yeah, and that's one that they can certainly specifically take that up with the DABCC, because you have to go through the licensing requirements, and if more than 10 people oppose the license, they'll have a whole hearing on the alcohol component and determine whether the license is appropriate.
But this can serve, he doesn't have to serve his own beer.
No, that's right. Yeah, he can serve whatever he brings in and out, and liquor as well. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
As long as he gets the state liquor license.
Right. Yeah. I asked the owner of, I think it's Savannah Discount Liquors on the highway in Dagsburg, which is almost right across, directly across the highway from Dagsburg Church of God, how he got licensed because of that setback. And he told me that his setback, although he's like from here to Town Hall from Dagsburg Church of God, was measured by when you leave his establishment, you have to go north on 113, like about a half mile till you hit
a
crossover, and then come back, and that put him at like 1.1 miles or whatever it was past the Dykesboro Church of God. Well, it was really just a pistol shot across, you know.
That was the
explanation that the owner gave me.
And that's
nobody
accurate.
Walks out of church to the liquor store.
They drive typically. Typically drive, yeah.
Or
take a bike.
Yeah.
Take a bike.
Or a
bicycle. Yeah, right.
Janelle takes a bicycle.
Okay,
let's move along.
So the question is whether we want it to come back for the commission. Because we can have, this is permissible for the staff to approve with.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, my motion is for approval of the preliminary site plan for the construction of a 6,500 square foot restaurant and brewery for Big Oyster Brewery, with the final approval will be subject to the planning office staff receiving all the agency approvals, as well as a response to the planning review letter submitted to the applicant.
Second. Been moved and seconded to approve Big Oyster Brewery preliminary site plan, with final approval will be by staff, subject to receiving all the permits. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Love Creek Elementary School, conditional use number 2016. Preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for the construction of a 95,620 square foot school with site improvements to be located off John J. Williams Highway, Route 24. County Council approved the conditional use for the establishment of an elementary school on June 16th of last year. The plan complies with all conditions of approval. The plan is zoned AR1. The tax parcel is District 334, Map 12, Parcel 45.01. The Planning Office is in receipt of all agency approvals. The Planning Commission could approve the plan as both a preliminary and final site plan, as they have all agency approvals.
Okay.
Didn't we talk about a gate or something that?
Oh boy.
the divide.
I believe it's on the troop side.
Yeah.
It's on the state police.
And that has not come through as a site plan yet.
But there will not be.
Yeah, I remember they talked about that that was gonna be limited access into the state police barracks.
It's gonna handle.
Yeah, because they didn't want everybody coming through the police barracks.
This is a state strategy spending area three, is that right?
I believe so.
The traffic common for the school buses, if you put it, no, the bus driver had to get out of the bus and go unlock the gate.
Well, no, wait, I think there should be a solid barrier there so nobody can ever get through it.
Well, they can, the buses can push it.
But, yeah, buses could push it out of the way.
The elementary kids can open a gate.
Pick the lock.
They probably do it with their phones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they have an app, they have an app for that. Okay, moving on.
Mr. Chairman, my motion is for approval as a preliminary and final site plan for Love Creek Elementary School under conditional use number 2016.
Second. Been moved and seconded to approve the Love Creek Elementary School conditional use 2016 preliminary site plan as a preliminary and a final. Is that right?
Yes.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. The next item is the farm at Truett Homestead, change of zone number 1785, preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for the construction of 90 single-family age-restricted dwellings under condominium ownership. The county council approved the change of zone and the conditional use application on November 17, 2015. The plan complies with the conditions of approval. The property is zoned MR. The tax parcel is District 334, Map 19, Parcel 3. The planning office is awaiting agency approvals in response to the planning review letter. Thank you.
Any major issues raised by your review letter?
Nothing that can't be addressed. They were just minor tweaks and a few little things.
And Mr. Chairman, does this, okay, this conditional use is not a
RP6.
Mr. Chairman, my motion is for approval. It's a preliminary site plan for the farm at Truett Homestead for change design number 1785 and conditional use number 2029, and that the final would be subject to the planning office receiving all the agency approvals as well as the appropriate response to the review letter.
Second. Moved and seconded to approve the farm at Truett Homestead, change of zone number 1785, preliminary site plan with final approval will be by the staff subject to receipt of all the permits. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, we have an additional business item. Discussion regarding planning commission districts. Gentlemen, I just want to put an idea out there that I think maybe we're spending a lot of time talking about something that I'm not sure it's going to have a good answer. One solution might be to just either leave the districts the way they are or observe the councilmanic districts, but to allow the staff to maybe do some redistributing of the workload based on geography, you know, so that Mr. Johnson doesn't get it all, so that some of his might be that are close to Mr. Burton, or close to Mr. Smith, might be given to them to be the lead person. I mean, that's just a suggestion.
Well, I must say that I kind of enjoyed not having to do any of the emotions this week. Although I know it was all dumped on Mr. Smith, which I greatly appreciate. But all joking aside, I'm not trying
There's no requirement for us to observe a line
right.
in the first place. There's no requirement. What the statute says is that no more than two commissioners can come from the same district, but that's it. And so it doesn't say that one has to come from here, one has to come from there, or that you represent any particular geography. So we really have all the flexibility that, that we want. I think it's been tradition the way we've done it. It's been policy the way we've done it. But I have great faith in our staff, and I believe that they could distribute the workload equitably if we permitted them to do it. But I'll just throw that out there as an idea.
And there's, I mean, the sort of the reverse of that is if a commissioner feels like, you know, for whatever reason, there's a lot of heavy lifting for a period of time, I think you could reach out to staff and say, you know, can you assign some of these to somebody else, you know, going forward?
The original, the commission has amended these boundaries probably a dozen times, or at least 10 times, since the commission was established back in 71, when we started doing public hearing. And it was really, the intent was that everyone knew on the commission that there was an area that all five members might not be able to visit, but at least that member would be there to visit those sites. Thereby they could make a recommendation of what they saw in the intent of the application in the process of the public hearing. You can't get to all of them every time, so to give someone that can speak on behalf of the commission. It wasn't a physical boundary, it was that the council appointed each of you as a member of the commission.
No.
The commissioner all represent the county.
Right.
As a whole.
Yeah.
Right.
Not as an individual location.
Right. You don't represent just your district. You're a commissioner for the whole county.
For that person that you appointed, you could be appointed
right
from some other area.
But this is just like in my instance, I mean, as chairman, I might have something in my area, but I can't make a motion. I can't, you know, second a motion or anything like that. But it's mainly a means to make sure that somebody, you know, goes out and sees it and is prepared. And I think we do a pretty good job of getting around to all of them when we can.
And we have some marvelous tools at our disposal now that we didn't have in the past. Just to mention, you know, Google Earth, showmystreet.com.
Not the least of which is GPS. Yeah.
Yeah. That will bring it in. I like the chairman's idea of perhaps a thoughtful redistribution of the workload.
Just leave the districts the way they are.
It's been many years that Mr. Johnson's district didn't have the majority of the site plans, at least.
That's true.
And probably the public hearings. Mm-hmm. Typically, any meet.
Yeah.
I certainly have no.
Right.
Years ago, it was more Mr. Smith's area.
It's more south. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, King Rehoboth and those areas haven't left yet. Been there quite a while.
Right.
I have certainly have no problem going in that direction, Chairman. I just want to note that while I know the chairman can't make motions, he's the only one at the table with a wooden hammer. Which I thought he was going to use tonight. But yeah, that's why I like Mr. Smith sitting next to him. I'm safer that way.
Listen, I've been called worse today.
Today.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine with that, Mr. Chairman. I think it's important that, you know, going forward as we do that, that the commissioner knows that they're the lead on that particular
right
area. Because that's typically at the public hearings, if it's in my area, I'm, you know, obviously you call me first.
You're the first,
Mr.
yeah.
Smith first.
And that's what I would anticipate, was that whoever has been, whose initials appear after it, You're kind of the lead guy.
Yeah, you're going to start off with a question.
Which is just simply means you're going to go first with the questions.
Right, you're the one that has.
I think the public's looking at those initials too. Yeah, they do. And they question why. When it's not in your councilmatic district. We get that question all the time. I didn't realize the reason why it's been brought up for discussion.
Huh. Yeah, I think that's the only. There's two drawbacks to not adjusting to council-matic districts, and one is that over time they do get really out of sync with the commissioner's district. And the other thing, a lot of people's perception is that if you're representing the fifth council-matic district, that should be your commission district.
Right.
And it's confusing even to the council sometimes.
I get it, yeah.
But I agree with Mr. Lank and you, Bob, that, I mean, we all we all cover the county. So, I mean, we know it doesn't make any difference, but the perception is that there is a difference. So, I'm good with allowing the staff to.
Steve has been suggesting that we take off the admissions.
I don't think that would, be a problem.
We've heard that.
It's only for us because I'm speaking for, because he was a 74 graduate. I'm 2 years older than he is, and I don't have that good a memory. So you don't put my initial next to it.
I think we need to know. We need to know who's the lead on what.
I'm just saying, but that's been suggested.
Yeah. If you don't mind answering the question, I don't think it matters too
much. But I don't know that we should take the initials off, because we take the initials off, then we don't know who's the lead on.
Yeah, and then it just sort of.
Really? I'm not suggesting. I'm just saying it
wouldn't take them off for us.
Take them off.
Would be on ours, but.
We could also take them off the agenda and put them on the info sheets and on the memo.
Yeah.
So that way they're not on the agenda to confuse people, but they are still on the public documents that are part of the record that go to the planning commission members.
Right. That would work.
If you looked at the application form for a conditional use or a change of zone, there's an initial beside the planning and zoning commission representative and the council person on the back. So we know who it is.
Chairman, I think it's a good suggestion. I think, why don't we just try that with the staff for a while, see how it works out? And then if we decide we need to work on it again, we can work on it again.
I'm good with that.
I don't think we need a motion. That's probably
not just by consensus.
By consensus.
All right,
I don't want to belabor the meeting, but staff gave me this wonderful book. There's no cover letter. There's no. It just says WOTUS, EPA Waters of the U.S. There's some American Farm Bureau information inside. And it was asked to be delivered to me. And so we're worldwide on the web. So whoever brought this to staff, if you're looking on TV or listening on the internet, I've got it. I really don't know what to do with it. I don't know who you are or what you want
me
to do.
Or why you wanted me to have it.
So I'm giving it to staff to put it in the file. And if you're listening, come visit and tell us what you want us to do with that information.
Okay, then. Referring back to our public hearings this evening, we had a grand total of one public hearing. That public hearing was Ocean Way Estates. Gentlemen, any discussion or a motion at this time?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for deferral because we've absorbed a lot of information. I think there's a lot of history, and with the knowledge that there's legal matters that attach themselves to this public hearing, which I think it was marvelous that we had the public hearing and had the opportunity to speak from people that were directly impacted by whether the gates stay or remain. There are some issues that Mr. Robertson and Mr. Lang brought out that I think we need to take some time and consider. But keeping in mind Mr. Robertson's rules that everything of the commission that our matters are discussed in an open forum, if before I make my motion for deferral, anyone would like to comment on what we heard tonight or go along with me in deferring, I'll leave the mic open.
Okay. Well, clearly there's a lot of some misunderstanding of the procedure and the process, and that's to be understood. These folks don't do this all the time. We do, so I mean, we get it. And they did too eventually. I mean, once it's explained to them in a way they can they can understand, and then it was I think we did what we needed to do. As far as the actual matter at hand, I think it's sort of interesting, and it does seem unusual that the gating is really to control through traffic, from what I can understand. That's really what they. And there isn't anyone who doesn't have a way out. I mean, no one disputed that statement, that there wasn't anyone that does not have a way out without going through a gate. And they can get out without having to go through the gates, so or in, as the case may be, if you live there, if you're delivering there, whatever. It seemed like the traffic calming, and I know there might be other solutions to that, but it really seemed like the through traffic and the traffic calming were the things that people were most concerned about in having the gates. And from our, you know, responsibility to pay heed to public safety, that maybe it makes some sense, you know? Just saying. Anyone else?
I agree with deferring action.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not ready. I would agree with that, too. Give people time to think about the testimony that's been given. And then, for the benefit of the public that is still here, the way that process works is if there is a motion for deferral, it will be put on an agenda at some future time for action at that time. There is no notice that is sent out, but the agenda is posted every time we have a meeting. The agenda is posted how many days ahead?
Seven days
before the meeting. Just, you know, it's on the county's website. It's easy to find. Just go and you can look and see if Ocean Way Estates is on the agenda. Under old business, will appear under old business.
Can it be deferred again?
It could be deferred again. It could be.
Well, no, not in perpetuity. There's a
time limit, but theoretically, it probably could be deferred again. Whether or not it will be, you know.
Who was the time limit?
45 days
from today.
Within 45 days, we'll see.
45 days from the time the record is closed, and since we did not hold the record open this evening, then the record's closed as of tonight. So it'll be 45 days after.
And they meet twice a month.
Yeah. Twice a month, so you know it could be on as early as 25th of February, unless the agenda's full or whatever, there's not room, or somebody hasn't had time, that might get pushed into to March 11th. But
it's not unusual to defer.
No, in fact, it's unusual to vote the same night of the hearing. That's more unusual.
That's probably what everybody else do.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. All right.
And okay. Comments that Mr. Smith was seeking. Yeah, as I stated, I'm bewildered why they don't put in other traffic calming methods, you know, such as speed bumps. I mean,
I have a suspicion.
If they get, other than a couple of people who wanted a dead-end street, you know, most people are concerned about safety. They're concerned about traffic, speeding, issues that really are a matter that's appropriate for this commission to take action on, because part of it is safe pedestrian travel. I mean, that's always one of the issues.
Sure.
That's why some people talk about sidewalks. But that point aside, but truly, there's other methods of protecting, you know, the residents without creating undue restrictions on folks, because, you know, if someone is elderly or handicapped or whatever, it's a real imposition for them that, or for anyone to expect that they're going to stop the car, get out of the car, open the full gate, drive through, get back in the car. You know, just that whole process is laborious and if anything is unsafe. So, you know, and you know, all the examples we saw of no matter how you rig the fence, you know, they can come up with some method of locking it.
Well, and hopefully it will occur to someone that maybe the best solution is just put some type of automatic gate at every, at each location, and that way you don't have the issue. But that's not, we don't decide what kind of gates they get.
Right. And I'd suggest to the one speaker that next time, write down the license plate number of that Jeep and go talk to her neighbor who's a retired state policeman and say, what can I do about this? You know, unless he was the one that was doing it.
Right. Anything else?
Just the final thought on that, maybe, subject to Mr. Ross.
Can I ask you a question? Sure. And then you might incorporate this. I mean, my understanding is our attitude is we can approve what they presented or deny what they presented. I mean, we might be able to make recommendations,
yeah,
or adjustments in a denial.
Yeah, or an approval.
I don't think we have the ability to say, hey, here's how you fix it, and demand that, right?
It depends on what it is. I mean, I think you could, within what they've applied for, you could impose conditions. I got to tell you, I struggle with saying, we're going to deny the gates here, but you've got to put them out front.
That's what I mean, and I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, I don't think, I don't think we can do that.
And then, you know, the issue of disability access and with those gates, you know, we've had these classes with HUD about, you know, disabilities and all these other things, and that's just enough.
Yeah, I thought it was a very artful,
He's an attorney, and that's what he's supposed to do.
Raised about the disparate.
But I can't imagine, and I went to recently
make it stick,
a sidewalk presentation about disabilities and sidewalk design and all that.
Right.
And, you know, I'm somewhat familiar with it, but it was a great presentation. I learned a lot. And I just can't imagine, you know, if we had HUD come through there and say, you guys approved this, you know, and how's a handicapped person get out of their car and open this fixed gate?
Or as Mr. Robertson said, you can certainly make the suggestion, you know, that they use, you know, a cart access or some gate that can be operated without getting out of your vehicle, that a handicapped person could operate.
Notwithstanding the total illogical nature of it, I've never heard of gates in the middle of the community in my life. And, you know, the one lady that said, well, people cross her lawn. Well, I mean, even if you had an electric gate and they can't work it, they might still decide to cross her lawn.
That's true.
Here's what we need to remember, though. We talked about all the people that live there now, okay? But we also heard that phase 3 is not completely built out yet. And phase 4 apparently has been sold to a national developer. So that is a whole lot of people that don't live there yet that are on the backside of it. And we need to get these plans right, because they're going to say, who come in 2 years, I have a right to get to Route 26.
That developer sold me, told me, showed me. You know, if I had a quarter for every time we've heard that.
Yeah.
Because right now, if you buy a house in the fourth phase of it from Ryan, you have a right to go straight through to Route 26. So that's why.
So they could come around the other way. Yeah, I guess what you're saying. Yeah, it really come around the other way.
You know, that's so it's
so whatever, it needs to be decided.
It has to be decided. Right. So that, because otherwise it's going to be a problem again in the future.
That's our job.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to do, but not tonight, apparently. I don't know. I haven't heard the motion yet.
Mr. Chairman, my motion is for deferral for further consideration. Ocean Way Estates.
Been moved and seconded to defer action on an Ocean Way Estates. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Gentlemen and ladies, that completes our agenda. Yes, ma'am. Do you have something for the good of the order?
I do. I have 4 different items. Staff would like to start providing memos with recommendations and suggestions regarding conditional uses and change of zone. We want to run that by you before you started seeing them, if anybody has any objections, or would you like to start seeing that?
I would love it.
Okay.
Sure.
The second item is staff's gotten had some concerns with engineering about phasing of developments and where the amenities fall in subdivisions. So staff has just come up with the idea of potentially requiring a phasing plan and the amenity site plan come in with the final subdivision plan. So we're seeing it all at once, so we all know what the amenities are going to be, and what phase they're going to be, and what construction phasing they're going to be. So we wanted to run by that by you, and if you had any concerns about that.
What do you need us to do? Just say okay?
It would just be, you know.
Okay.
It's just informational.
It's just informational.
That's a real issue, because there's phasing plans that float around all over this building.
And that way, everybody.
Perfect.
Planning Commission and Engineering all know the same thing.
One thing about phasing plans we have to remember is, we may have a phasing plan for the sections of the project. Public Works may have multiple phasing plans for the physical construction for bonding purposes.
Right.
So there's a difference.
Right.
But we're going to try and marry them together. So
keep
there is
them together. Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
There are 2 IPA training opportunities. They were both stapled together. One is in March and one is in May. So if you're interested in going,
instead of beer.
Institute of Public Administration from the University of Delaware.
I thought you were inviting us to a brew pub.
Lastly, March 1st at 1:30 in the afternoon, there will be a combination Planning Commission County Council for the kickoff workshop for the comp plan.
At 1:30,
when is this?
1:30, March 1st. West Complex. Okay. It will be at the West Complex Tuesday, March 1st. 1:30 p.m. at the West Complex. It's a combination County Council Planning Commission kickoff workshop regarding the new comp plan.
With McCormick Taylor.
With the engine, with the consultant who is McCormick Taylor, who will be working on the comp plan.
1:30?
1:30 in the afternoon at the West Complex.
March 1st, Tuesday, March 1st.
Would maybe use another term besides kickoff?
Workshop?
Thank you. Commencement of.
But the workshop specifically to get the commission and the council together to speak to McCormick Taylor about their.
It's just going to be a kind of a general overview. This is, you know.
Who
they are, generalized timelines, you know, just to see if, you know, you should start seeing stuff in the future happening with the comp plan.
Excellent.
A few weeks ago, we took them for an excursion just for a ride. Staff took them out and showed them the different areas of the county, west side, a little bit towards Ridgeville, Super Marl, back towards Milburn into Lewis and Hewitt. In fact, it would be a big circle in the middle of the county, pretty much. So, too. Ag and food, very different thing.
Will we be meeting our new consultant prior to the first?
No, you'll be meeting them on the first.
Yeah, so what would happen to the, I mean, last time we actually did the hiring of the consultants, as I recall.
There was the RFP program that we went through. Yeah, and hired McCormick and AECOM too. That was Johnson.
We had two consultants on board. One to look at the ordinances, one to look at the comp plan and ordinances. But now we're trying to separate the two. Get some ordinances introduced so we can get through the public hearing process on trying to tweak the code because it's out of date in some places. So we need to fix.
Okay. And I mean, yeah, the comp plan, I know it comes through planning zoning, but ultimately hiring people is county council. So
I understand.
Yeah. Council creates one thing. Council created a committee to look at signs.
Right.
And IG was on the committee. One of the board members was on the committee. There were several citizens on the committee. Some people from the sign industry. It was a good group, and I was pretty impressed by the participation. It was active.
Yeah.
And we pulled it off in four meetings. Five meetings, probably. Five meetings, I think. Went well.
Good.
So we just reported.
And there was a planning commission member on the review committee of the RFPs. So
okay,
there definitely was input from the planning commission in the hiring of McCormick Taylor.
Cool. That's it.
All I know.
Got.
Okay. That being the case, stand adjourned.